Welcome to the weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Matt.
Hey, Matt. How's it going? Hey. So it's not a solo cast, thank goodness, but Chris couldn't be here today. Unfortunately, I think whatever her daughter had has passed now to the parents. So Chris is out this week again. So if it's not one thing, it's another. And it's nothing's worse than the summer cold. So quick recovery, hopefully, for Chris. But we've got some gaming news this week. So this week on the weekly, Asmodee loses billions, as well as their parent company. D&D Whiskey, which nobody needs, Dolmenwood Kickstarter, and Night Vale RPG. So the Welcome to Night Vale podcast is becoming a tabletop RPG. So let's start with the incredible failures of the Embracer Group. So we saw some headlines. So Asmodee's corporate owner allegedly loses $2 billion. And I think we'd reported this or discussed this a little bit previously because there was this mysterious deal that fell through and they didn't let you know if it was if they were buying someone, like if it was an acquisition or what was going on. But they said we had a $2 billion deal fall through and it was with the country of Saudi Arabia and the wonderful Savvy Gaming Group that is basically a Saudi government investment group that is looking to diversify from petroleum products. So, that was their big failure that they've been hinting at for a long time and I guess had to confront their investors with. So they've been doing decent. Asmodee specifically has been doing decent. Their earnings have been good. And so Asmodee is basically every board game now. Everybody, Fantasy Flight, everybody's under their control now. So, you know, Catan, Ticket to Ride, Pandemic, all the basics for board gaming, it's all published by Asmodee. And so they're doing pretty good. This first quarter of 2023 looked good for them, but this failed investment has caused Embracer to put everybody into cost-cutting mode, is what they called it. So they've been, without naming any names or telling us any, giving us the titles of any projects, they've been canceling projects and laying people off, shuttering studios, and we're not going to know until these people, you know, file for unemployment, you know, who exactly was cut off. But very likely this was supposed to be a 6-year investment from the Savvy Gaming Group, who previously invested $1 billion with them. So they had a previous deal before. So they've already gotten $1 billion from Saudi Arabia. And of course, when we talked about Embracer and who they're in bed with, that is a little bit troublesome that a country like Saudi Arabia with their, you know, human rights opinions and troubles there is, you know, funding your board game addiction. So, yeah, mm-hmm. a little bit troublesome. But one of the Savvy executives had a quote that said they have a genuine effort to get into gaming and address professional and leisure interests of the kingdom's youthful population. So I thought that was a good approach. So I got to spend their money on something. So why not board games? Yeah. So, and of course on the board for, Savvy sits, Mohammed bin Salam, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. So yeah, make of that what you will, but, so Embracer is, restructuring at this point. So they've got currently 17,000 employees, but they're, you know, in the process of laying them off and cost cutting. So we'll see. But they did mention, one of the funny things that they mentioned was a huge, huge success for them was trading card games had a 70% increase. And this was due to the fact that they own Middle Earth Enterprises and the Magic the Gathering Lord of the Rings set that they did was a huge payday for them. So that's funny. I guess that one ring, you know, whoever that was, Machine Gun Kelly or whoever bought the one ring card, that went straight into Embracer's pocket.
I think that magic set is going to single-handedly guarantee they just keep doing that crappy license strategy.
Yeah, it's not going to stop. Yeah, if they... You know, noticeably, if they saw success from that, then I think it's going to be never ending. So they'll, you know, with that synergy that they're talking about with, you know, buying properties and then having, yeah. And Wizards, yeah, Wizards is probably happy with the results as well. So, yeah, Asmodee's been pretty good, too, with winning awards. So they've had a lot of their, you know, kind of family and kids-focused games winning awards. So, you know, the studios are performing well. It's just the company Embracer overall is not... And it may be like a, you know, a turn of the world economy, because they were saying also that their profits were much better in the EU than in America. So America may be a market in trouble for a little while. And that's why people may be holding back their $2 billion and kind of waiting to see what happens. But there was a great quote in this article talking about, you know, the boom and bust nature of the tabletop gaming industry. And then they also said that the industry has to accept, with their ties to Saudi Arabia and the ever looming threat of being thrown on the sacrificial pyre of fiscal stability. So those are comforting words when you're when you can't make your rent and have to get on unemployment. You were just thrown on the pyre of fiscal stability, sacrificed, as it were. All right.
Why do I think some princeling got his daddy to make that initial investment, you know, and then daddy looked at the overall numbers and like, oh, this was a mistake,
right?
You know, right.
That was your birthday present, but after that, no more billions. Yeah.
Maybe Kyle Breen can go work for Savvy.
Oh, that would be great. I think he would fit in very well. Managing their portfolio. Oh, man. Well, this is a little D&D news, but kind of a peripheral, kind of one of those third-party peripheral accessory kind of things to the D&D world. So there was an interview in the Hollywood Reporter with Matthew Lillard. And Matthew Lillard, I guess, famously playing Shaggy in the Scooby-Doo live-action movies. So he's been an actor since the 90s, at least. And I didn't know this, but he was one of the co-founders of Beetle and Grimm. So the success, yeah, they had big success. So they founded that in 2018. And if you've never heard of Beetle and Grimm, which is probably hard to imagine, they do the deluxe kind of $300, you know, and up kind of, you know, exotic hardwoods and like ridiculous, you know, GM screens and releases of D&D books in this like premium way. So probably pay some licensing and then have some designers like really go to town and make these, you know, make these D&D books big collector's pieces. Do you know anyone that has bought or come near any of that stuff?
No.
That's
out of my league.
Yeah, it's one of those high-end things. Oh, that right. And Scream. Yeah, the Scream actor. Yeah, that's right. Matthew Lillard was also in Scream.
Isn't he the guy that was the hippie dude in Cabin in the Woods, too?
Ah, yeah, I think that's him, too.
Okay.
Yes. So
he was basically playing Shaggy in that movie.
Yeah, right. Right. So he is a co-founder of another company. And so I guess instead of buying like a, you know, a used car lot or a, you know, car wash or whatever, he's putting his money into his, you know, his hobbies, his nerd passions. So he's a co-founder of Find Familiar Spirits. And there's a new company that is serving fantasy game inspired alcohol to the nerd universe. So here we go. So they have a new line of game inspired spirits, and the name of this line is Quest's End. It's the debut whiskey from the Find Familiar Spirits, and with his partner Justin Ware, who's a screenwriter, and Blue Run Spirits co-founder Tom Sparapani, they've set up this company, and they're they're going to try to imitate the success of Beetle and Grimm with these premium fantasy gaming themed offerings. So they're going to produce a limited number of bottles of this whiskey, and it is a continuation of an ongoing story. So the first four bottles are going to be the Paladin, the Rogue, the Warlock, and Dragon. So the initial release is the Paladin, who is Saren of the Pit, quote, who was born in the fighting pits, a paladin of the god of Inzax. Yeah, one of those deity characters, one of those deities, and it's going to be a straight bourbon blend whiskey, characterized by notes of vanilla and fruit, with an undercurrent of spice to reflect her fighting spirit. So they're trying to make everything about this whiskey narrative, and these releases are going to have a story arc, I suppose. So it's a distilled Indiana and Kentucky whiskey, and it's available for pre-order. So if you need that paladin to begin your journey through to the quest's end, pre-orders are going on starting October 4th with a November release. So yeah, I don't even know where to begin with what is wrong with this, but they may be very successful. So they hired a master brewer to kind of formulate these, and an illustrator. So Tyler Jacobson is the illustrator that's going to do all the packaging and bottle labels. And then the brewer is Ale Ochoa, who has carte blanche to create flavor profiles that relate directly to the 16 characters that they're going to be releasing. So this article, I haven't read a Hollywood Reporter article for a long time, but all it was doing is like dropping brand names and stuff. Like during his interview, he just was naming specifically all his favorite gaming accessories and things. It was very odd. Maybe just to, yeah, bring attention to everybody that's you know, in the periphery of the hobby. But Lillard has a quote from this interview, several quotes, but one of them says, each one of the bottles has a map on the back. It has hit points on the side. So as you drink down the hit points, you get stronger. One of the things we wanted to create is something very bespoke. So the bottle is beautiful. You're getting a story, an entire unboxing experience. Ouch. Right. Yes. So if that's not enough, so there's this, yeah, these characters, these whiskey releases that are going to happen. And if that's not enough, the other thing that they're working on is the Fester Purple Worm Kill. So the improv, you know, kind of like whose line is it anyway style improv based around Dungeons and Dragons. That's going to be on the Fast channel, the free ad supported streaming channel that D&D is releasing. And luckily, it won't be affected by the writer's strike or the actor's strike, because it's all improv. Yeah, so they're going to have, there's going to be SAG people involved, but they're improving. So I don't know. And maybe they've already shot a lot of this stuff. So they're going to do 21-hour episodes that are going to feature Lillard himself, Seth Green, Skeet Ulrich, Patton Oswalt, Deborah Ann Wolfe, Todd Stashwick, and Michael Irby. So a lot of people that have been involved more or less with various nerd hobbies. So and this time he says the table is 100% new people cycled through a new DM, a new world, and the whole conceit is that there's one monster and everyone dies in the end. So okay, that's what's that's the next thing cooking. Hmm. So yeah, this is a busy guy. He's deeply devoted to his hobby, and maybe the acting roles have dried up a little bit. So yeah, he's taking that money and moving it over to his hobby. And
that seems to be a big pivot for a lot of these actors, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Manganiello pivoted to D&D. Deborah Ann Wall pivoted to D&D. Well, I guess Vin Diesel still does movies, but I don't consider them movies. But anyway, he tried to pivot to D&D.
Right.
And then the booze thing too, like that's a thing. Ryan Reynolds like sold his own thing and made a whole ton of money off of it.
Right.
To the point where he's buying sports teams.
Yeah, right.
You know? And who's the first? Like, I feel like Sammy Hagar was the first one to really do that.
Yes.
Like he did his tequila, and then he made a mint when he sold it. Yeah. Is it official? Is it licensed?
I think it is, the way he's talking about it, it is, and maybe to the extent that the Beetle and Grimm stuff is, so if they're going to use, well, I don't know. I mean, now that everything's in Creative Commons, who knows if they even have to pay for that, if you want to call something, I guess if they're using, if that's an actual D&D god name, if that's a Forgotten Realms god, the god of life Inza, then perhaps if they're going to use some things that refer to properties.
I was just wondering if it was going to say like Dungeons and Dragons on the label.
I wonder.
You know, because some people would buy it just because of that.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. If there's an ampersand on it, they're gonna pick it up. Yeah, I'm not
That's my latest. Oh, yeah. All these spinoff products drive me nuts. Like the latest one that slipped into my algorithm is these freaking, it's like an owlbear roll-on deodorant or something. And I'm like, oh my God, go away.
Yeah, they said when those retail numbers were leaked for Dungeons & Dragons, one of the top-selling books, it didn't beat the three, like the Player's Handbook, the Dungeon Master's Guide, or the Monster Manual, but it was right up there, was the D&D Cookbook. So yeah, those kinds of projects seem to be doing stuff. But so they said they've already been talking to producers who have incredibly successful IPs that they want to build in-world whiskeys into film and television. So this company, company that they founded, they're going to probably do some other themed whiskeys, seeking out other IPs that would make good series of whiskey releases, I suppose. But it's crazy. But then the rest of this interview, it kind of goes on and on and on, talking about like his midlife crisis that brought him back to D&D and all this stuff. But then he drops, I don't play D&D unless I'm near my Nespresso machine. And of course, we play on our Wormwood gaming table. We use Dispel Dice. We use we have the WizKids pre-painted miniatures on the table.
Oh my God.
On top of our Dwarven Forge terrain. I'm just like, what is he doing? Is this, what is this? It was a very strange paragraph where he just like name dropped these brands of everything that's on his table. So, and I don't know, maybe that's a Hollywood Reporter thing. I haven't read one of these interviews before, but the interview ended with a real high note. So the last thing he said was, "So there you go, and look out, Oprah."
So, what?
So he's looking to be the Oprah Winfrey of tabletop gaming. I don't know. I don't know what that was, but those interviews are pretty intolerable. Hollywood Reporter writes some pretty brutal stuff. So if you've got, I can't imagine these things are going to be less than $100 each. These bottles, if they're limited edition. Okay. So if you've got money to spend and you need to drink a Paladin because you'll be gaining hit points as the as the whiskey is consumed. So that's how it works. And there'll be a map.
How long have they been working on it? Because is it good bourbon aged for at least a few years?
Right. Yeah, so maybe they're doing blends. So maybe they are just, buying up already distilled and just blending it. Man. Putting it in a bathtub, stirring it around, pouring it into a really bespoke bottle. And, kind of like that old moonshine, what they did during Prohibition for... Oh man, I have no idea, but very interesting. I was that really caught me off guard, and his whole description of like how they want this. I mean, you're gonna have to be older to want to enjoy this, cleverly themed whiskey. I don't know. It's very strange. You don't want to like put that bottle on the table and have your game group just like down a bottle of Paladin.
Before the session, it's not my style, but I listened to some podcasts, and there seems to be a lot of it's a lot more common than I realize that people get hammered while they're playing their role-playing games.
Wow. And
maybe I'm just too old, but like I'd rather just go get hammered. Like,
right.
To try to stay in a game at the same time. I mean,
to add two to your role when you're intoxicated. Yeah. It's like, I got no idea what's going on. Yeah. That beer and board games, that one series that was started by that Wisconsin comedy group, the guy that does Chad Vader. Their early stuff, it got pretty antagonistic. Like, they got pretty messed up. There was a Games Workshop board game that has the concentric
Talisman
ring. Talisman. They had this really really aggressive session of Talisman where they were getting really, you know, like almost to blows with each other trying to play that game. So alcohol doesn't always make it funnier.
No.
So but you know that this is going to be a, you know, an opportunity for YouTubers and people to, you know, buy this stuff so they can do expensive unboxings and say,
"Oh yeah,
yeah,
oh,
yeah. Look at this! Look at Paladin! Look at her map on the back." So we'll see. Yeah, and so keep an eye out for more mentions of this Quest End series by Find Familiar Spirits. And I'm curious too if they'd make any other partnerships and other IPs show up on the. On this label. So let's move away.
I hope it works out for him.
Yes. Yeah. Poor guy. Yeah. I feel so bad. He's going through this midlife crisis and he's turned to gaming to comfort himself. But so I guess, it could be worse. He could be putting his money in other horrible things, NFTs and cryptocurrency, whatever. I'm sure he's doing that as well. But at least we're getting a bespoke whiskey out of it. So let's turn to something you may actually want to spend your money on that may actually be a worthwhile purchase. There's a Kickstarter currently going on for Dolmenwood. So Dolmenwood role-playing, so that's created by Necrotic Gnome and Exalted Funeral. And the designer, Gavin Norman, is responsible for this. And so Old School Essentials, I guess, is what he's best known for. And this is, I guess, a setting in a system. I think it's a system as well, kind of, you know, based on Old School Essentials that's been in development for 10 years. So on his Patreon, I think people have had access to like the early versions of these rules and early versions of the setting. So people have been running these games for a while. So Dolmenwood is a fantasy adventure game set in a fairy tale inspired eerie folklore British Isles. So it's going to be, Euro inspired fantasy gaming, but more with a fairy tale folklore slant. So what they're calling dark and whimsical, wondrous and weird. So it also involves there's a lot of originality to it. The Tangle Woods and Mossy Bowers, where the players will forage for mushrooms and herbs, discover rune-carved standing stones, hidden fairy roads, and venture into fungal grottos and forsaken ruins, battling oozing monstrosities and haggle with goblin merchants and drink tea with fairies. So there you go. There's a whole array of activities. So August 9th. So we've still got a couple weeks. But the campaign went live August 9th. And regardless of how you feel about the setting, you definitely know that these books are going to be very functional at the table. Like, everybody that's talked about his work says it's laid out so well. So you're never flipping. You're never like confused about what to do. So as a game master, these settings and these books are always a joy to use because they're really well designed. Very clean and very efficient design. So that's the biggest compliment I've heard, because that's not always the case. And I'm finding that out right now with rereading the Star Trek core book. That is a very crazy, it's almost like a scrapbook of, you know, some weird Star Trek fan made a scrapbook, and in between all of the little entries that he clipped out of, like, you know, fanzines and stuff, are the rules for the game. So it's very funny what they were trying to do with that. It's very dense and difficultly designed for a rule book, but but Dolmenwood, it looks And they show some spreads of the of all three books. So that's what they're producing as the three Dolmenwood core books, and of course a range of extras: the player's book, the campaign book, and the monster book. So they'll do two editions, a standard edition, and then a nice deluxe slipcased edition of it as well. And it has really gorgeous art. They of course, just like with Old School Essentials, they have some great illustrators working with them. And the emphasis is on open sandbox world play, simple, flavorful rules for travel, exploration, and camping. And they will include a map with a 200 map hexes with 12 detailed settlements, 280 NPCs, and a scheme of major factions, which include the Cold Prince, the Druun, the Human Nobility, Longhorn Nobility, the Pluritine Church, and the Witches. So, and this is, the system's going to be, yeah, similar to Old School Essentials. Your 6 basic ability scores, and you're going to be rolling, if it's Old School, then you're going to be rolling D20s, but nice clear procedures for travel, camping, settlements, dungeons, encounters, and combat. And then there's a little rundown. This is from the Necrotic Gnome website. Each of the books is kind of broken down. The in addition to the core books, they're also going to do 4 adventures. So there's kind of 4 modules that are being produced as well. A set of 11 resin character miniatures, a GM screen, a cloth and poster maps of the Dolmen Wood, and then also an 8-track, which will go up possibly to 11, depending on stretch goals, Dolmen Wood soundtrack album, which will be pressed on 12-inch vinyl or digital download, depending. So it's, yeah, they're very old school with all that they're doing. And then a full set of Dolmen Wood, kind of moss-covered fungal dice. So they're very, very thematic dice. So, yeah, there's a preview. There's a 76-page preview you can download right now on both the Kickstarter page and the Necrotic Gnome website if you want to get a look at the rules and kind of if the setting is for you. And I've just heard there's so many YouTubers that just sing the praises of this setting and said that they've run campaigns already with the beta rules and they just love it. It's a very, very fun experience. So the player's book is 192 pages, 6 kindred, 9 classes. Campaign book is a 464 page. It's a big one. 7 factions, 12 settlements, and then yeah, all the hexes described. And then the monster book is 128 pages with 134 monsters and 580 encounter seeds, plus a list of 348 monster rumors. I guess, you know, kind of adventure hooks to bring people in, and then 28 NPC stat blocks. So lots of content. So those 3 books, yeah, you should be able to run run Dolmenwood for quite some time. Maybe an equal number of the years of development. So you get 10 years of adventuring from 10 years of development. Hopefully it's a 1-to-1 kind of ratio. But yeah, if you're a fan of Old School Essentials, this is definitely a campaign worth checking out, because I think it's just been kind of waiting to get to the point where they're ready to crowdfund it. Because it's been in the works for a while. So have you heard anything about the setting, or do you know anyone?
Well, yeah, actually, like, it existed at least to some degree for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to say it was he released zines or something, because people, I've heard podcasters talk about Dolmenwood and mm-hmm. playing with Dolmenwood. So it's in one form or another, it's been around for a while. Mm-hmm. And it, yeah, kind of like what you said, it got a ton of praise. The Old School Essentials part of it, yeah, because that's basically taking, you know, this stuff.
Yeah, right.
And making it modern and user-friendly mm-hmm. and easy to index and look up things and... because that stuff isn't.
Yeah, right.
and, you know, that's always been the thing I heard about Old School Essentials, was how they streamlined it, made it very accessible mm-hmm. and organized, very organized. And
right.
So I'm looking at the Kickstarter right now. It looks like they're at 1.1 mil, mm. 14 days to go. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, they're going gangbusters.
Yeah, and the 3 books are pretty reasonable. Yeah, the basic set, I think it's like $60, something like that. It's like the deluxe, where it's like if you wanted the nice slip case and everything, it's like an additional $30. But I think it was like, yeah, maybe $90. I think it's like $30 a book. But these are pretty meaty books. So it's it seems like a nice set, and they're not going crazy with the pricing, even in the deluxe version. Yeah, because that's basically
I love what you were reading about them having all those adventure seeds and monster rumors mm-hmm. in there. And it made me think that now that Dragonbane is out, right, mm. pretty much everyone who Kickstarted has got it, and people are ordering it now. And on their Facebook group, they're getting a little bit of pushback here and there from folks that I think are coming strictly from sort of the fifth edition community. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Free League does adventure sites, right? So right. they're really stripped down with a basic story and basic adventure location details. Mm-hmm. And people are kind of pushing back, like, what do I do with this? There's not enough information, you know?
Right.
And this is kind of the same thing. It's like, this is, I love this. I love just having little ideas that get me thinking mm-hmm. of what I can do, right?
Right, right.
But there is like this community, you know, no offense, but largely newer fifth edition community mm-hmm. who are used to just massive descriptions and pages
of
stuff and aren't really used to having to just take a hook mm-hmm. and fill in the blanks, you know. But
I noticed, I
say good on them.
Yeah. No, I think that's true, because it's, you know, you're not going to railroad anybody through an adventure site, you know, for Dragonbane or any of the other Free League games. They really like leave it open to you know, what the group is going to, you know, be interested in doing. And yeah, I think they work well. But you're right, though, compared to what Wizards releases, where you basically have this, you know, this here, then here, then next, and now they go down and here, and now they're in the sewers, and now they're in the church, and yeah, it's very different, different experience. And yeah, because that was the I saw those same kind of complaints, and so I wonder if the box set of Dragonbane that they released, they should have kind of marketed or branded it a little bit different as like a starting set or a beginning edition or the first step in something, so that people, because there's so much content, you know, for the settings that were developed from the 80s, you know, for that game. So I wonder if that is a missed opportunity to say there's a lot more coming. If you like this, there's a lot more, you know, a lot more to come. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, so Dolmenwood seems to be doing okay. Yeah, I'm worried. The shipping for Exalted Funeral projects is pretty dear to Japan. It's I paid some high prices for Old School Essentials to get to my door. So, yeah, I'm a little reluctant to go too heavy. But it looks like it looks like a great campaign.
Just tell them if you get it, tell them, do not mark this as furniture or whatever it was that you got nailed on.
Yeah, that was, bookcase. Yeah, bookcase, household. That's right, because it was for the household RPG. So it said household bookcase, and I paid for wooden furniture, whatever the tariff on wooden furniture was. I paid for that RPG. Yeah, I've had a string of bad luck. It's made the unboxing. I can always start the unboxing with a bad importation story, but mm-hmm. other than that... yeah, so no good. So
at least you're getting what you ordered.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not getting empty boxes. Yeah, that's true. All right. So one last. This was an announcement that was at the recent Gen Con. So Welcome to Night Vale is going to get a tabletop RPG. So the podcast sensation Welcome to Night Vale has partnered with, of all people, Renegade Game Studios. So these are the makers of the G.I. Joe, Transformers, and Power Rangers RPGs, licensed RPGs. Okay. So yeah, this is kind of a comedy kind of just nerd podcast about this fantasy town called Night Vale, where strange and unusual things are happening. So the podcast has been running since 2018, and the co-creators Jeff Fink and Jeffrey Kraner are you know, being consulted and working on this adaptation to some degree. They're not saying that they're just saying to some capacity. So it sounds like Renegade just bought the rights to it, thinking that it was popular enough to do this with, a popular enough a property, because the podcast has turned into live shows and novels based on this fantasy setting. And so sometime in 2024, we're going to see the Welcome to Night Vale role-playing game. So a quote from Fink, one of the co-creators, is, "For over a decade, Jeffrey and I have been building the world of Night Vale with our podcast, touring live shows, and novels. Now we cannot wait for people to finally get to step into the world themselves and start telling their own stories about a weird little desert town." So, oh, actually, sorry, not 2018, 2012. So June of 2012, Welcome to Night Vale premiered as a biweekly podcast. Now, of course, they've stepped it up into live shows and a series of novels. So it's a little desert town, fictional desert town in the American Southwest, where supernatural events, horrific entities, and extra-dimensional shenanigans occur. So the show follows Palmer, voiced by actor Cecil Baldwin, as he broadcasts news and daily events, a kind of community bulletin board for Night Vale, and he spins weird tales about Night Vale and its residents. So an odd choice, because it looks like Renegade is going to go with their Essence 20 system, which is a 20-sided die system where you combine a relevant skill die of any of, you know, various sizes, I think D4 to D12, with your D20 roll. And it works for the Power Rangers and G.I. Joe, so it's going to work for Night Vale, I suppose. But that's about all we have detail-wise. The announcement was just like, this thing is happening. And it kind of got buried with all the, you know, shenanigans going on at Gen Con. So, so people have just started talking about it now. So it's a popular kind of, you know, geek podcast, and it has a really original flavor. It's, you know, an original IP that's not a kid's a kid's toy line. So I think that's something to look forward to. But I wonder, I don't know. I have not bought any Renegade games, so I'm not sure about their the quality, you know, of the books and stuff they produce. But hopefully they'll get some good illustrators and, you know, some designers to give us a nice looking product, and it'll actually be a functional game. And, you know, if there has been, what, almost 10 years now, I guess 11 years of developing this fictional town, there's got to be a lot of characters. There's got to be a lot of, you know, things that can turn into game mechanics. So just hope that the book has the same, they can come across with the same tone as the podcast, because it's very kind of unique the way that they tell those stories in their podcast. So hopefully that voice, you know, carries over to whatever Renegade is doing, but who knows how much they care about that.
Well, now, doesn't Renegade, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't they also make those co-op board games from those same properties?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I think they do.
The,
yeah,
the G.I. Joe one. And
Yes.
I've played, my gaming group has a lot of older millennials, so I'm forced to play, you know, the G.I. Joe game and the Power Rangers game. And, right. Like, I would say the quality of those was good.
Oh, good.
I didn't like the game.
Yeah, right.
But the quality was good. And isn't Renegade the company that was like sending cease and desist to people using Renegade in their titles of things?
I think they were. That's right. Yeah. There was that. Yeah, Kickstarter. Right, the Kickstarter that was using the name Renegade for their game. That they cease and desist. Yeah. It. Didn't want any confusion. Yeah, to happen. Yeah.
Not cool.
Yeah. So who knows how they're running. How they're running things. And I think the rules writer for Warzone Eternal is a his big I don't know if he's on staff or he's a contractor for Renegade, because I think he worked on the Power Rangers and a lot of that stuff. So the Brian Steele, the guy that wrote the rule set for Warzone Eternal, he's a writer for Renegade, so maybe he'll get involved in the Welcome to Night Vale, depending on how big a fan he is.
Well, I had never heard of the podcast. You had to fill me in on it. But that's not necessarily an accurate reflection of how well-known it is. Mm-hmm. Because other than a few, like, history podcasts and comedy podcasts, I mostly listen to gaming podcasts. So
yeah, right.
I don't, you know. I've heard of one similar to this. It was affiliated with NPR. Mm-hmm. But it was like a murder mystery. It was it was straight. It didn't have like supernatural or weird stuff in it.
This game, or I'm sorry, this what will be a game, this podcast had a really unique tone, and because it came out so early in the kind of podcast popularity, it really stood out as being a unique, original way to do a podcast, because they were just telling this like wacky story and staging it as a radio show. There was a radio show happening in this town, and just this DJ was basically telling you what was going on, and it was just weird stuff. And so it, like it, when you're listening to it, kind of that War of the Worlds feel. It's like, this sounds like it's real, but it's too weird. You know, it's really, really over the top. Like, what's going on here? It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, so it has a nice comedy element, but along with all the supernatural and everything, it's really well done. It's like a really unique kind of original property. So I hope they do it justice, and we'll find out.
And I know nothing about that game system.
Yeah.
It was called Essence?
Yeah. Essence 20. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a 2d20 and then an additional die based on your skill to give you some benefit. So, yeah. Yeah. I haven't played any of these licensed games with that system. So, who knows? Hopefully, it's better than their board game rules. Yes. But that's gonna do it for this week. So where can people find you, Matt?
I am on Threads and Instagram. Both of them are at Hargald. That's HARGALD. I've been posting. It's the Threads community is pretty fun. Like the gaming folks, you know, everyone feels kind of like a refugee from the Dead Bird site. And so everyone's been really cool, and, you know, occasionally post my gaming thoughts, but I like to, you know, interact with a lot of other gamers on there. So that's fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's about it.
Nice, nice.
How about you?
Excellent. So, yeah, I'm still doing my abuse cartoons live stream. So the drawing my domestic abuse cartoon. So if you search abuse cartoons on Twitch or YouTube, you can find the live stream. And if you want to read the cartoon, it's a single panel gag cartoon I've been doing forever for 20 years. And it's available on GoComics. So gocomics.com/domestic abuse. And if you'd like to support what we're doing here with the weekly, consider becoming a weakling. The one of our tiers on Patreon. So patreon.com/upturntable allows you to interact with us, tell us what you want to hear on the podcast, and you'll get access to a lot of exclusive content for our actual plays and live streams and audio dramas and lore videos and all kinds of good stuff. So you'll get stuff early as well as stuff that nobody else sees. And you can also get that same benefit by joining. So if you're watching this live stream on YouTube, the join button below will let you become a member and give you that same sort of access. So that will do it for this week. And so Upturn Table on all social media. And thank you so much, Matt, for broadcasting halfway across the world all the way to this this little live stream. I appreciate appreciate having you here, and I will see you tomorrow for our session zero of Star Trek Star Trek Adventures. Yeah. So some more 2d20 fun. So it'll be fun to get back into that. So that'll be if you subscribe to the channel, you'll get notification when that goes live. And so about 24 hours from now, we are going to be rolling up characters for Star Trek Adventures. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.